The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, in our easily offended cancel culture society, what if Christians were the most unoffendable people on the planet?
We do have things that are going to cause anger. The goal is to get rid of it as quickly as we can, understanding that God has forgiven me, so I have to forgive others. They don't have to even apologize. I do it not because they deserve it, because they don't. I do it because I didn't deserve it. And that is freedom.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison. So good to be back with you again. Our guest today is both laugh out loud hilarious and insightful. He is a best-selling author and an award-winning broadcaster, and he's a friend of mine. And honestly, our time goes back to KSBJ Radio in Houston, Texas, where we had a grill off and I beat him. And I think he's probably still angry about it, maybe even a little offended. So he has since written a book called Unoffendable. Brant Hansen, welcome, Brant.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. I'm still, in fact, the book is me working through my loss.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. What was the competition?
It was a grill off.
Yeah, we had some kind of grill off. And then we had a one-on-one basketball game.
Uh-oh.
And it was close.
I think I beat you there
you
as
did.
Well. I have
you
many
did.
Trophies.
Was, yes.
But so. Brant, seriously, we are living in a time right now, our culture, it's like an angry epidemic. People are so angry, and I've never seen it like I have today.
Yep.
And your book, how does that relate to what's happening in the culture today?
Well, I think it's fascinating because if you read one article after another, it could be New York Times, Washington Post, whatever, they talk about an epidemic of anger in our culture. And they will talk to psychologists about what to do about it. And there's a billion things they usually list, you should take a walk, you should listen to some music, you know, take a deep breath. They never mention forgiveness.
Interesting.
Which is Jesus. Jesus is, among other wonderful things, he's a genius. Like, he knows how we actually thrive. So it's fascinating to me. Like, we're missing something when we don't talk about that. Forgiveness is the way out of this. And you can live a life of unforgiveness if you want, but I would tell you it's a lot worse than having to forgive somebody.
Right.
So people are like, well, I need to be mad about this. I need to be mad about that. No, actually, you don't. What you're supposed to do is take action. You may need to have some boundaries in your life. This isn't about having to stay in relationship with somebody who's hurt you or is abusive or something. But if you don't forgive somebody, you are staying in relationship with them in your head for the rest of your life. So this is Jesus' way of handling this anger thing. And I would say it's the way to go. It's just that not many people are taught to do it. So it's very consistent. Anger is not ever, we think my anger is good, it's righteous. But it's never in the good lists in the Bible. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. We're never told, hang on to anger. We're supposed to get rid of it. Because God knows it will destroy us. So he's very compassionate. His passion, the way he tenderly is telling us, don't hang on to this. And we now know, due to science, like, your anger will take a physiological toll on your body. Because it's actually a fight or flight response, but you're holding on to it. And that fight or flight response for the rest of the world, like, that should be over really quick in the animal kingdom, for instance. Like, you have this reaction for a reason, mm-hmm. but you can't hang on to that because it will destroy you. So we do have things that are going to cause anger. The goal is to get rid of it as quickly as we can, understanding that God has forgiven me, so I have to forgive others. That's the basis. Mm. Whether someone deserves it or not, I forgive them. They don't have to even apologize. I do it not because they deserve it, because they don't. I do it because I didn't deserve it. And that is freedom, I would say. Yeah. So that's what I think the biblical wisdom is on this.
Wow. I mean, for me, I don't know that I'm easily offended as much as I struggle more with moments of anger.
Uh-huh.
And I think that even developed more later in life for me, when my husband died, I found that I was having to manage a lot of things on my own. And when I couldn't do it, I found myself just getting frustrated and angry in those situations. I have constantly prayed, God help me even deal with some of the anger issues that I have in those moments. And so I think even when we talk about this unoffended, being offended, anger, it's like for me, it's like getting to the root of why are we even responding this way? What is it that's making us feel like this?
I think that's really important. I think that's really brilliant, because when you question, why am I angry, you really are getting at a heart issue.
Yes.
A lot of times, you can be angry because you're ashamed.
Mm.
Somebody made you feel bad. You're angry at that person because they realize that you're not doing your job or something. Like, that's one reason people can be angry. You can be angry because you feel threatened. That's the most common. But then you ask, well, what is being threatened here exactly? Mm. And I do think as we get older, if you're a believer and you're following Jesus, you will be transformed over time.
Mm.
And you become less threatened by things. Because honestly, what can they take from you?
Right.
Like, it depends on where you put your value and your worth, right?
Right. And honestly, even if it's your own life, you can be like, well, I already gave that away. So you become less threatenable, and you also can trust God more. Like, He's the one to mete out justice. So His anger is righteous. Like, what Jesus does in the temple is righteous. Like, God's anger all through the Hebrew Scriptures is righteous, but ours, we're supposed to get rid of it.
Mm.
He's also allowed to judge. He's allowed vengeance. There's things that are His because He can be trusted with it.
Mm.
But for us, the wisdom all the way through the Scripture is that anger resides in the lap of a fool. Mm. So you may think, well, I have good reason to be angry. Mm. That's the very thing you're supposed to forgive.
Mm.
But you don't want to hang on to this because it's going to kill you.
Right.
And it also shows that you don't quite understand just how good God has been to you, because you're responsible and I'm responsible for Calvary.
Mm.
So I can't look at Jesus on the cross and say, I'm responsible for that, but I'm going to hold this against you. Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Now, Brent, you're taking away all my excuses for being angry and offended by some really terrible things in the world that I want to be angry and offended by.
Isn't that interesting? Yes, because it is hard to give that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's very difficult. I have people say, well, forgiveness is so hard. It is. It's hard. But it's not the hardest thing in the world. It's harder to live a life of unforgiveness.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can be angry. Like, God doesn't take away your free will to be angry. You can take your anger and keep it if you want, all the way to the grave.
Mm.
People do it all the time.
I got a tough question for you in a second. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, where does this come from? Is this something you've had to deal with?
No, I have no.
No,
no, I do. I have, like a lot of people, you have stories in your background. And for me, it's tough stuff from childhood, family, trauma, and thinking, am I supposed to live in reaction to this the rest of my life?
Mm.
Or how am I supposed to handle this? And so I actually was looking in the Bible. I would talk about it on the air as a Christian radio guy. Like, how long am I supposed to be angry about things? Because I know I'm supposed to be angry about stuff. Like 2 weeks, 10 years. And then to actually look in Scripture and see, I'm actually supposed to forgive. That means giving up my right to anger. Because I can't say I forgive you and I'm staying angry with you.
That's right, yeah. Right.
But this is the only way to freedom. And again, it doesn't mean you don't have boundaries.
That's right. And it doesn't mean you have to stay in relationship
right
with people that have also caused you harm and have hurt. And I think that those are two different things. I mean, there's been relationships in my life where I've had to forgive, and I have known that God wanted to heal that relationship. There's also been incidences where I have forgiven, and I knew that God said, but do not be in relationship here.
Yeah.
It's toxic, it's not healthy, and you need to forgive and move on so it doesn't have any power over your life, but you do not have to be in relationship here. It's not healthy for you.
Well, and when you do give up that anger, you'll be thinking clearly about what to do.
Yeah, yes.
Like, anger does not help your judgment. Anger clouds our judgment. So if you want to address things that are really horrible, maybe in culture, maybe in society, in the world, there's all sorts of injustices that you see.
Right.
Now, you can get angry about it. I should be angry. Okay, but your anger actually doesn't help anybody.
Mm.
Taking action helps.
Mm.
So when I'm generous, That helps. But we like to pat ourselves on, I got angry, I tweeted about it. Like, well, that's makes me feel good.
Right.
But the goal isn't me feeling good. The goal is me to do something out of love, to defend the vulnerable, to defend the weak.
Yeah.
That's right.
And not to do it out of anger, but to do it out of love. Because if I don't do it out of love, I'm a bunch of noise.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is hard for people to make that jump because they think if I'm not angry, I won't do anything. I'm like, well, then that's a problem. You should be able to do something without anger and stand for what's right and have boundaries and be able to say, you're in my parking spot, you're going to have to move. But it's not out of anger, but you still say it.
Yeah. Right.
Which is with a cool head.
It's so true. So it's so perspective.
Yes.
Like,
so you can practice this. You get better, honestly, starting the day saying, I'm going to forgive people today.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be shocked by human nature again.
Mm.
I can't believe somebody cut me off.
Right.
Believe it.
Right.
So let me. Here's my difficult question, and I think you touched on the answer a little bit, but I want to unpack this because I think it's important. When we talk about anger, and I think most Christians will start to hear you, but there are still some things that are rightly offensive in this world, right? Okay. So we've just been talking about human trafficking a lot, and that's a huge offense where some people are doing evil things, and as Christians, we should take, I think, some level of offense at that, you know?
Well, we know it's wrong.
Right.
And we act to counteract it.
Right.
But again, I would go back to Calvary. If you really believe that Jesus died for you, you're responsible for the execution of an innocent man. Mm. Like what he did, that scene was so grisly. That's because of me. So for me to turn around and think I have the right as someone who's been forgiven for much, to turn around and not forgive other people who are guilty of that. Like, and Jesus, in fact, does give us that unmerciful servant story where you've been forgiven much. Again, we still address these things, and you'll actually, Dallas Willard said, whatever you do with anger, you can actually do better without it. So if you don't think you can address human trafficking only if you're angry, that's probably a maturity issue. You should be able to understand humans are broken. This is a horrible thing that's happening, but I'm not going to act out of anger, but I'm going to rescue these girls or these boys.
Do something, about it.
Out of love.
Yeah. I think a good barometer, actually, of that specific example is how do you feel towards the people that are perpetrators of the abuse?
Yes.
Because God wants to save them, too. And that was a hard one for me when we got into this.
I understand.
Yeah.
There's endless things to be angry about in the world. You know that. They travel at all. Some people in America, they can just watch and sit and marinate in their news channel or whatever and just get angry.
It encourages it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't help.
Right. Right.
And it makes you somebody, like, no woman wants to be married to an angry guy who sits in his recliner and gets worked up about the news every day. but a man who is driven by love and takes action to defend the innocent, now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something beautiful about people like Martin Luther King Jr. or Dietrich Bonhoeffer. They're like, I can't do this out of anger.
Yeah.
I have to do it out of love, but I will do it.
Gosh, that's good, Brent. It's good for me. It's good. It's good for me. It's challenging
it
for me.
Challenging.
It is challenging.
It's challenging, and it's good for me to hear this too.
But this is the way of Jesus. Like, he's giving us a way to live that's so freeing, and so that we don't have to bear this anymore.
Yeah.
It's a lighter. It's rest.
Yeah.
To finally, instead of thinking I have to carry around judgment for everybody all the time, to go, actually, that's God's job, but I am going to do what I need to do.
Right.
There's something interesting about you carrying this message, because one thing we haven't talked about that you do talk about is the fact you were bullied pretty mercilessly as a child.
Well, I have some quirks, and I share openly about the fact that I'm on the autism spectrum. So there is a lot of irony that I even have a public platform.
Yes. Yeah, right.
So, yeah. But I think that's neat because I always feel like if anything good happens because you're awesome, like you've got all this talent or something, then it's like, well, he's awesome.
Well, sure, yeah.
But if you've got these glaring things, weaknesses, vulnerabilities, and then if something good happens.
Or just differences.
Yeah, whatever it is, whatever it's perceived to be, but it's like, then God gets the credit.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't have charted that, like to have a best-selling book or whatever. I never even set out to do that. But it's been neat to look back and go, God, you forged a path for me in spite of stuff I've had to face or whatever. And all of that stuff that I went through, I now look at like, that's now a blessing.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think you would be where you're at today if you had held on to the offenses and let the anger
carry you. Way. Yeah. Mm. No way. And I've been married now for 33 years. And I have such a wonderful, life-giving relationship with my wife. Like, that couldn't happen if I'm stewing about all my past issues.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. It ends up destroying relationships now.
That's right.
Because you haven't dealt with forgiving. It could be the worst offenses, but you haven't dealt with that. Yeah. You're going to be still in that fight or flight mode, and that's an awful place to be.
If you don't deal with it, it's going to continually affect every relationship.
Absolutely, including your relationship with God.
Absolutely, number one.
Yep. And like, this is our way to peace. This is what I'm telling people, even if you're not a believer. I'm like, Jesus is so smart. Like, just look at his way. I was telling my Uber driver that this morning. Like, we had this conversation. Like, Jesus is so genius. His way is the best. And so it's funny to see modern psychologists try to grab, we don't know what to do about anger.
Mm. Mm.
And he's 2,000 years ago talking about stress, saying, you should be like the birds of the air. You should be like the lilies. They don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We imagine threats that could happen next week and get angry about that.
Right.
But it's killing us.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, so you mentioned talking to your Uber driver, right?
Yeah.
Have people around you, you know, in your daily life, in your neighborhood, wherever, have they noticed that something a little different about you? And I don't mean the autism. I mean this lack of anger and this forgiveness and this unoffendability.
So here's what's really weird. I'm by nature, I'm a Pharisee. I name my son Justice. Like I am. I like things the right way, law and order. And I always felt it was my job to assess everybody's spiritual temperature and to kind of tisk-tisk people who were sinners or whatever. And since I've rethought that, like, that it's God's role. My goal is for people to see Jesus. Mm. And I know everybody, wherever they stand, I know they need more of him. Mm. So that's my goal. But since that happened, we don't flinch when our neighbors are different from us. Like, they have a completely different worldview. We're not scandalized. We love them. Mm. We enjoy them. We even like them. And so it's funny. Well, I'm thinking about stories from neighborhoods past, but like, what happened is they want to be around you then. Mm-hmm. So I went from nobody really wants to be around me to people want to be around us because they can tell we actually like them. Mm. Mm. And then when we talk to them about who, they know we're believers, and when we talk to them about Jesus, we have their ear.
Yeah. Are you suggesting that we have a connection before we make the correction in their lives?
Something like that. Or let God, trust that God's going to make the correction. All I have to do is just faithfully tell my story and actually like them. Yeah.
That's
but
right.
People won't lean towards what you have to say until they know that you are for them.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's really interesting. You start to see things with people before you're annoyed. And now, because you're not offended, you actually see things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise that you really like.
Mm.
Like, you can see, like an artist, like God sees people and he's like, I know you don't see this, but there's something beautiful here that could happen. And I think you can start, once you start practicing this way of forgiveness, you start to see people differently, and it's good.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to have to meditate on this a little bit. I mean, this is some depth.
I know. I'm gonna start right now because I'm feeling angry.
Well, and, you know, actually, if you're watching and you're like, okay, this has challenged me a little bit, or maybe I struggle with this, or I just want to know more about it, I want you to request Brant Hansen's book, Unoffendable. Today, when you do something with us about something that I find offensive, I find it offensive that children go to bed hungry, that they don't have enough to eat, that there is no food anywhere to be found, and they suffer. But like Brant says, I don't get angry about it. I get motivated about it, and I do something. We're going to invite you to do something today. Take a look at this and see how you can do something very positive, very godly about something that really is tragic, that's wrong. And we'll be right back to tell you how you can be more of a part of that today.
You have kept track of my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book.
In this hut, right here, right now, they're mourning the loss of a 7-year-old girl. when you look around, you understand how desperate the situation is, because some of these children we've seen around this village are showing some of the early signs of malnutrition, the bloated stomachs, the reddening hair. We're so far from the clinic and from any place where they can get help that if a child does get sick, they could be gone within a day, maybe two. That's how desperate the situation is here. Death comes quickly.
Just as a broken-hearted mother sits with her precious child, God marks every groan of sorrow and pain. No matter how much anguish and heartache a mother is going through now, it does not go unnoticed by God.
I know God hears them. He hears them, and you know what? He sent us, and He sent you to answer that cry. This doesn't have to be a place of mourning. It can be a place where the suffering is alleviated. Will you answer the cry of these children? Will you stand with us as we give them life?
It's hard to see those images. It's hard to relive some of those moments. Children literally died in that clinic that day I was in there. But we know that we can make a difference. And the only reason I can keep going in this capacity and keep seeing the suffering that God sees every day is because I know there is a solution. And that solution is us. God sees their suffering. I've seen their suffering. You've seen a glimpse of their suffering. The question now is, what will we do as caring, compassionate human beings, I would say as the body of Christ, how do we respond? Tammy, I think we know what we have to do.
Yeah, we do. Randy, it's probably some of the toughest trips for me to go on. Mm-hmm. When you go into those clinics and you're with those little babies and you see their precious little bodies and you know that death is knocking on their door. But you also know that there is a way to turn this around for these little babies. My favorite times on these trips are when I go and I get to pick up this bowl and I dip it in that porridge, and I know there's so much life in it. There's nutrition for their little bodies, and they stand in that line, like sometimes hundreds of little ones. And it's probably my greatest joy in those moments is just to dip it in and just say, God bless you, God bless you. We don't always get to do that in those clinics because they are so far gone. I think the urgency is knowing that they are in the balance of life and death. We can do something to change that. We could save one little life at a time, Randy.
Yeah, yeah, and we do it every day. Thank you for your support, those of you who have supported Mission Feeding over the years and continue to do that. 350,000 children every day receive food. Your gift of $30, $50, or $100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children for about 3 months. So that means that your gift today will go straight into feeding children tomorrow, the next day, and on and on. I would love to expand this. I mean, I know 350,000 children is a lot of children, to me, I look and I go, the need is growing, unfortunately, at times. It moves at times. We need to adapt. Mm-hmm. We need to get there. But the bottom line is this. We need your support right now.
Yeah.
It's urgent. There are children right now who are suffering from malnutrition, and the quicker we can get teams to them to set up Mission Feeding in their village, the faster we can turn things around, and we do turn things around. We have seen it many, many times. We give them that hope in the future by giving them a bowl of food today. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you, will you go to the phone or will you go online? Make the best gift you can for Mission Feeding. We have some nice gifts for you. If you want to receive them, feel free to request them, a devotional, something to encourage your spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, will you reach out with the love of Christ to give food to people who desperately need it?
I'm asking you to do it and to do it right now.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you 365 days of courage. Filled with scriptures and words of encouragement, this daily devotional will give you the confidence that comes from knowing how God sees you. Take courage in Christ's love and be ready to conquer each day. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Blessing Framed Art. This beautiful wall art will grace your home or office and serve as a daily reminder of God's blessing and kindness over your family. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone right now. Make the best gift you can. We have done some wonderful things with your support, and we need to keep doing it. Keep doing it. So thank you for that. And if you request Brant's book today, Unoffendable, we'd be glad to send that to you. And actually, you know what, Brant? You've got some more resources on your website. This would make a great small group discussion.
Yeah. We filmed a 6-part series, so they're like 18 minutes long, each one, to start discussions. Then there's some questions and whatnot. So it's the Unoffendable Study Guide and video series.
Your website?
Yeah, BrantHanson.com.
BrantHanson.com.
Yeah.
Great.
Gosh, so. Thank you so much for being here, Brant. It's been fun
it
to catch
awesome.
Up with you.
Yes, totally.
And I don't want this to offend you or anything, but I've kept the trophy all these years.
Oh,
that,
my goodness.
KSBJ, Trent Hanson Grill-Off.
I lost.
It does say winner, so I'm going to hang on to this.
I don't even think I should be allowed to look at it.
You probably shouldn't. I'm just going to, I'll let you hold it for a minute.
Golly, thank you.
On that note.
On that note.
Thanks.
If only.
We appreciate you being with us. We'll see you again next time.
See you.
Walk through the door so oppressed and so much pain, and then just to see them blossom.
Nancy Alcorn from Mercy Multiplied, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.